Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Oh, there we go. Love that music, right? Anyway, welcome to the broadcast today. And I hope you're having a great day. We're all trying to make it through, amen, because we know the earth is not our home. Wow, do we ever know that? With all the trials and tribulations we have to go through every day. And we all have our own trials that we go through, don't we? We have to totally depend on God and as we're living in, because as the Bible says, truly the days are evil. And as I was preparing for this broadcast today, and today we're going to talk about Morris Cirillo. And I won't have time today to get into Rod Parsley, but we'll do him next week. But I have to say that this morning, as I was doing my research for this program and I was looking up the videos and the audios of some of the latest happenings at the Morris Cirillo Ministry, It really makes me angry. I get this righteous indignation because I think, why? Why does the body of Christ fall for these people? Why do people follow these people? Why does anybody even go to a Morris Cirillo event? And he still gets crowds. He probably doesn't get the crowds that he used to get at one time because there's so many scam artists. Of course, back in the day, you know, maybe 20 or 30 years ago when so-called Christian television was coming into vogue in the early 1980s, you didn't have so many scammers. So people like Morris Cirillo and people like Oral Roberts and some of the older people, they were able to con so many people, and they invented this whole seed faith prosperity gospel where the whole thing basically centers around them. And you send them money, and God will bless you. And they have so many scams that they offer. And he's creepy. He's just creepy. He says, "Oh, beloved," and it's so sickening, really, because the only person that's beloved to Morris is Morris, and he's a liar, and he's a thief. He is. And you can go and look at some of his videos, and there he is in front of his, I don't know how many $1 million, multiple million, 10 million, 15, 20 million, whatever he spent on his jet that he's standing in front of, and his mansion that he lives in, and he just revels in conning people. And even he just went through a bout of a sickness where he had this flesh-eating thing. It was eating the flesh off of his leg. What kind of a wake-up call do you need there, Morris? Do you think that maybe that was a wake-up call? Because he didn't have leprosy, but it's kind of a leprosy when your skin just starts rotting away. He said it's called vasculitis. I never heard of this thing, but Anyway, he says, oh, the doctor said it was incurable, and he was in a wheelchair, and he couldn't go anywhere for 10 months, and he was in so much pain that he was asking God to take him home. Morris, I would be careful, because I don't know where your home's going to be after you die if you don't repent of your wickedness. Your wickedness, just outright wickedness. Everything you do centers around a lie. Just centers around people sending you money for these financial breakthroughs, which, look, you don't get financial breakthroughs. I tell you how you get financial breakthroughs. Now, there's a few ways you can get a financial breakthrough. You can get a job. You can go to work every day. You can not buy things on credit that you can't afford. You can be a person of integrity and pay your bills. Maybe somebody will bless you. I'm not saying that God can't give you a miracle. He can give you a miracle. He can give you a miracle. But basically, every day your life has to revolve around getting up in the morning and doing some kind of work, because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. But they're promising you the world and the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. And this is the year of your financial breakthrough. And he's been telling people this for most of his ministry. When are people going to get it already? When are people going to get it? Your financial breakthrough comes from hard work, integrity, providing for your family, because the Bible says if you don't provide for your family, you're worse than an infidel. So I don't know. Why don't they tell people the truth? Why don't they just tell people the truth? Because remember that, and that movie, well, I didn't like that movie anyway, but that movie says, you don't want the truth. Okay, probably most people don't want the truth, because I would say from the looks of it, from the millions of people that follow these people, they don't want the truth. They just say, well, Morris says I can get his breakthrough Bible, and he's got all the promises of God there about prosperity. Well, I don't know about you, but when I grew up, my mother and father, if I did what was wrong, they sure let me know about it. And even up into my adulthood, I was still the child, and my mother and father were still telling me what to do and how to do it right. They weren't saying to me, well, here's a little way where you can kind of get around doing what's right, and you can do what's wrong, and then God can still bless you. But that's what people like Morris Cirillo and Rod Parsley want you to believe. Just basically do whatever you want, but God's got all these promises in the Word of God about the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Now, well, wait a minute. What's God going to do? Is he going to rob somebody else's bank account to give you money? Is that what he's going to do? I don't think so. I think you get money every week when you get your paycheck. And then maybe somebody might bless you somewhere down the road with an inheritance, or somebody might like you and bless you. Really, basically, that's up to God to speak to people. And meanwhile, you have to go about your life and okay, thank God for your blessings, that kind of thing. I'm not saying it's wrong to believe God for things like a house or a car or things that you need, clothes, food, those kind of things that you need. But just thinking that you can give some preacher money and then, you know, God himself is commanded, he's held to some kind of he's held down. God is held down by the fact that you gave Morris money and you released the money out of your hand. And when you release the money out of your hand, God sees it. And God gets so excited that then he takes the money that's in his hand and he releases it. Except God doesn't have any money. So he doesn't have any money up in heaven. No, the money's at the bank. The money's at the bank. That's where the money is. The money's in the stock market. The money's in Fort Knox. God doesn't have it. But Morris and Rod Parsley, they're determined to make you believe that Morris and Rod, they have the secrets. They have the clues of how you yourself can get rich, and you can get rich quick. Well, there's no such thing. Okay, there's no such thing as get rich quick schemes. It doesn't exist. It's not going to happen. And you can spend your life, and it'll be a sad life. Trust me, it'll be a sad life if you trust people like Morris Cirillo and Rod Parsley. These are heretics. They're heretics. They're selfish, money-grubbing preachers that prey upon people's pain, and they prey upon people's agony. They prey upon you like vultures. They have no love for you. They have no love for God. They have no love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, we have to say no to this kind of thing. And to all my many listeners out there, if you're going to a church, and I am going to thoroughly promote this because I would like to see more people get out of this mess and the churches get out of this mess, and some of these pastors start teaching people the truth every Sunday. If you're going to church, you're going to church to be taught the word of God. So the preacher is responsible for knowing what it says, and he shouldn't get up there and lie to you about what the Bible says and then get mad at you if you question something that he says. No, that shouldn't happen. But if your preacher is teaching seed faith, if your preacher is telling you that you give money and you get money, then you need to go and have a talk with him and show him that that's not Christian, because Christianity is about love, and it's about giving unselfishly to bless somebody else, not to bless yourself. So if your pastor doesn't like that, then you need to leave that church and tell them why you're leaving. And if they teach these bondage tithing doctrines where they teach you that if you don't give God 10%, you're cursed and you're never going to have anything, and this is the storehouse and you have to bless me so I can have a house and a boat and a car, and my first lady and my first children can have all their needs met. They can go to the best schools and wear the finest clothes. Meanwhile, I will teach you the ways to prosperity, and I will teach you how to have faith. Well, it doesn't take any faith at all to stand up on a Sunday morning and tell people to give me 10%. That's not called faith. That's not faith. Faith is when you tell God what you need and you don't have to tell anybody else that you have a need, and God knows what you need, and then he meets your need somehow, some way. That's called faith. That's faith, but not begging and collecting 10% from people. That's not faith. That's not faith. But yet these people will tell you how what great faith they had, and look at all the blessings that I have because of my faith and my seed sowing, and look at me. And Jesus rebuked those people. He rebuked them for bragging about all the things that they had, and look at me and how great I am. Well, we're not great. The only goodness that we have in us is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, there's no good thing in us, and we know that. We know that. Anyway, I'm going to play some audio here. Now, Morris Cirillo, he's celebrating, I don't know what he's got, 60-something or something, 70 years in ministry. And I don't know what kind of ministry. I wouldn't be bragging about it because it's really not a ministry. What it was a very lucrative business for Morris and his wife. And he even wants people to call him Papa. And he talks about his wife. He calls his wife Mama. And Like, you're supposed to look up to these people. These are not the kind of people we should be looking up to. These are the kind of people we should run away from. When somebody knocks on your door, like Morris does when he comes through the TV screen or he comes through the radio or however he gets into your house, the Bible talks about the thief that comes into your house. Well, he's a thief. Don't let him in. If somebody comes to my door and they're kicking down my door and they're trying to get in, that's a thief. I'm not letting them in. And nobody should be letting Morris Cirillo in their house. Enough. Enough. If you see Morris Cirillo, if you have to see him, tell him to repent before it's too late. Tell him to repent. He already had a flesh-eating thing eating his leg. Oh, what more, Morris, what more is it going to take for you? But anyway, Morris now, he said he was an orphan, grew up in an orphanage in New Jersey. And he claims that he saw angels. Well, Morris always has these super spiritual stories where, and beware of people like this, really, that they tell you that they see angels and they go to heaven and they go to hell and God talks to them audibly. And so they tell you all these things because they want you to think that they're special and you're not. Well, here's Morris.
Day because
14 and a half years of age.
I mean, he knows one person in the city. He doesn't have money. He doesn't even know where he's walking. And I understand the weather was pretty bad.
It was a December blizzard night, snowing, wintry. And I stood on the street corner, Main Street, in Clifton, New Jersey. And when I looked up in the sky, I prayed, God, if this Jesus is real, let him be with me right now. And on the street corner, 14 and a half year old orphan boy had the presence of two angels that came and took my hand and led me for miles until I stood face to face with the woman that brought me the message of Jesus.
And you had a heavenly encounter where you were literally taken out of your body. And that's when things really changed. Explain that.
Well, this is a supernatural manifestation. And as I was in prayer at an altar in the Assembly of God Church in Paterson, New Jersey, I was taken out of my body. And I was brought up into some place in the heavens. But I saw a manifestation, a light that was so bright. It lit up the entire heavens. And across the heavens was a multitude of people that no man could number. And that's when the Lord brought me to the presence of God. And when I got up to the presence of God, around my whole body, the very glory of God lit me up like a light. 15 years of age. When he walked away, I saw two footprints in the sky. I looked into those footprints. I cannot describe to you what I saw, but I saw a vision of hell. And when I did, I put my feet into those footprints. They were my exact size. And then the voice spoke and said to me, "You will rise, you will shine. The glory of the Lord will be risen upon you."
You didn't even know that was scripture.
I didn't.
I'm sure.
In Isaiah
You know, I'm going to fast forward. You're in Bible school, and you had...
Now you're making me cry. You know,
I'm not making you cry. But I tell you what, I have to ask you this question. You're in Bible school. You're a pretty good athlete. You're playing baseball.
Oh,
you're,
my God.
You're pitching.
You're not going to go there, are you?
Yeah, I'm going. And you're pitching.
Softball.
So it's not like that. It's like that. Okay. And the ball comes back to you like a bullet. And hits you.
I just had enough time to turn a little bit.
Yeah.
It smacked my face and...
Someone didn't like you. They wanted to get you out.
Oh, brother. Well, you know, okay. Oh, you had this heavenly vision. Oh, and you were 15 and you were taken up out of your body. That never happened to me. I don't know. I never had that happen, nor do I want it to happen. I don't want to be taken out of my body. And until I die. When I die, yeah, that's fine. Then I'm ready to go. In the meantime, I don't want any of these kind of Twilight Zone happenings like Morris. Oh, Morris, you know, you say, oh, I saw the angels and I was taken up out of my body and I saw the footprints and blah, blah. You mean the Lord never told you that you're a scam artist? He never told you that? What's he going to say to you on that day? On that day when you stand before him, what's he going to say? Depart from me. I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Is that what he's going to say? I think so. And you see here in the book of Acts, chapter 8, and when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness. Pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Yeah. Morris, I would take heed to that scripture there, Morris. I would really take heed, because time's a-wasting. You're not getting any younger. And that flesh-eating thing you had on your leg, God, who is rich in mercy and who has given you space to repent, is giving you a little wake-up call. You have no control over the situation. You can brag all you want about how you got a healing. You can brag about it all you want. But one day, as the Bible says, your life is but a vapor. And you have an appointment with death one day. Be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What are you going to say to the Lord? Because I don't know if you're going to heaven. I doubt seriously that you're born again. Born again people don't spend 60 or 70 years in ministry scamming people. They just don't do it. Because when you're born again, you have a conscience, you have a conviction. The Holy Ghost convicts you. He wakes you up at night. He gives you nightmares about your sin. He makes you toss and turn. All kinds of things happen when God's convicting you. And obviously, as God was convicting you when he laid you down on that bed of affliction for 10 months and you were in a wheelchair and your flesh was being eaten off on your leg, it was a time for you to cry out, God, I am lost and undone. that was the time for you to cry out. But no, what did you do? You came back from the deathbed, and you came back and you went right back to scamming, right back to scamming. You didn't miss a beat there, Morris. There was no, I repent to the body of Christ. No, what you're doing now is you're building a legacy center in San Diego. You're building a center to yourself, to your legacy. And it's going to be all about Morris Cirillo and Morris Cirillo's accomplishments. And there's going to be a holographic show with pictures of your life. And no, forget it. Never mind. We don't want to hear about this legacy. You are one person that we would rather forget about until you repent. We'd rather forget about it. We don't need a more personal legacy, which will probably never happen. We've probably been in the works now for about 5 or 6 years, and it's still happening. I know that they purchased the property there in San Diego, but we don't need any monuments to some man. No, the body of Christ doesn't need any monuments to some man. We need to talk about Jesus and winning souls to Christ, that kind of thing. But monuments to men we don't need, especially to heretics we don't need. Anyway, here's more on Morris Cirillo with, and he's with Sid Rosh, you know, Sid of It's Supernatural.
Oh, at least they told me. They never saw vasculitis do. Oh, at least they told me. They never saw vasculitis due to a human flesh. Like what it did to me. It ate my flesh. Ate it. Literally ate it. There was no pain pills. No medicine that I could take. There was no way that the doctors were baffled that they could help me. They told me one time when I went to see one of the wound doctors, he said, I can prescribe to you a dose of a certain medicine. He said, but I cannot tell you if it will kill you. Now you have a choice. You want to take it?
Were you in bad pain?
I was in unbelievable pain, 24 hours. And I took a lot of pain pills to try to alleviate the pain. And Mama and I, that's Mrs. Cirillo, you know, we've been married, this year we'll be married 66 years.
Okay. So when we come back, we're going to pick up on what Dr. Cirillo calls the greatest miracle of his life, that God
And, you know, people get married, and the Bible says that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing, and he finds a helpmeet. So don't you think that most women, when they see their husband becoming a scam artist and they have children and they're trying to raise their children to do the right thing, and they see that their husband is going off into a bad direction, and they see that their husband is scamming people, he's becoming a huckster, to get money to provide for the family. Most good women say, honey, we need to have a little talk there, honey, because I'm your helper and you need some help. No, Teresa, mama over there, please. That, Morris, she's not your mama. You had a mama. That's your wife. Mama over there that he calls mama. That's some poor excuse for a mother. Boy, I'm sure glad I didn't have a mother like that. I'm sure glad I had a good mother that taught me right from wrong, and she taught me, you know, to be honest and to have integrity. I don't know what kind of mama you have there, Morris, but she's sure not your helper. She loves those jets that you fly around in. She loves those mansions. She loves the praises of people there when you take her to the meetings, the applause, and she loves the jewelry. She loves all that. She doesn't love God. She doesn't love God, that's for sure, because she doesn't take a stand for anything. She just do whatever you want there, Morris. Just bring home the bacon, basically. I found this very shocking as I was watching this Morris Cirillo. He has these conferences, and he has this conference, and I think it wasn't too long ago. I think it was in 2016. It might have actually been the beginning of 2017. I'll look it up and then I'll tell you. But anyway, he's got Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn, I think this was before Benny. Now, Benny loves to brag. You're going to hear Benny bragging and bragging and bragging here. But it's all centered around getting the offering. So anybody that Morris invites to his conventions, you have to, at the end of your sermon, there's always a hook. And the hook is always the offering. Because if you don't take up a good offering when Morris invites you to his conferences, trust me, Morris will never have you back again, because it's not about the sermon. It's about the offering. So anyway, Benny, this is before Benny found out that he was being... Benny's bragging. He's going to brag about the houses and everything he's getting. But this was before Benny found out he was being investigated by the feds. Remember, a few months ago, the feds pulled up in a few cars over there at Benny Hinn's headquarters in Texas. And they got out of their cars. They were dressed, ATF people, you know, dressed in their outfits and everything. They got out and they went into the offices and they raided Benny Hinn's offices. They were surprised that day when they showed up with warrants. They took their computers and they were in there for hours. Benny, you know, the Bible says that every hidden work of darkness shall be made known. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says that. Be sure your sin will find you out. I'm sure you were in shock that day. I'm sure after that happened to you, you weren't out at Morris Cirillo's conferences bragging about this $750,000 house that the Lord gave you, paid for it, and now somebody else is going to give you a house in California with an ocean view. Oh, that was before God came knocking on your door. Knock, knock, knock. Benny, hi. Benny. I got to rein you in a little bit here, Benny. So let's hear Benny. Now, Benny, let's hear Benny here at Morris Cirillo's conference here.
But which convinces me prosperity is coming to the church is Israel is having breakthroughs in medicine, breakthroughs in technology. They're about to send out satellites into space the size of shoeboxes that will fill the earth with Wi-Fi. Google and them are competing over who'll take the deal. And Israel, it looks like, is winning. They're going to send those satellites up to cover the earth with Wi-Fi. The brilliant minds of the Jewish man, wow, and the Jewish woman, too. And so now they just discovered more oil in the Mediterranean than all the oil deposits in the Arab world. They've discovered gas. They are soon to be the richest nation on the globe. Now, did you hear that? Israel is about to become the richest nation on the globe. And if you're looking, somebody shout yay! And when Israel gets into that wealth, guess who's next? First the natural, then the spiritual. God surely will give you the wealth of the sinner as he has promised you in his word. Are you ready for it? Wait, are you ready for it? Will you be faithful with it? Well, how can you be faithful
like you.
Unless you prove yourself faithful now? If you cannot be trusted with money, Jesus said, who will trust you with true riches? True riches are coming. So we are seeing things happening with Israel right now that are staggering the mind when it comes to technology. The iPhone in your hand, whatever phone you carry, half of it, if not more than half, is built by Israelis. Voicemail, Israeli invention. Cameras, Israeli invention. You keep going. A lot of invention. That phone would not work if it wasn't for the Israelis. And I can keep going. So, therefore, we're going to see revival because of all that's happening with the rabbis. We're going to see prosperity on a scale we haven't seen before because of all that's happening in Israel's technological and such things that are breaking loose. The discovery of oil right now, wow. But something else is going to happen because nations are now aligning with or against them. You all heard what happened at the United Nations a few days ago. So we are about to see a very active prophetic season. And it begins now. A prophetic season like we've never seen before. So this is the time, to prepare. And before I pray for the sick, I'm going to pray for those who are financially sick. That God will heal your pocketbook and heal your finances and put you back on the mountaintop financially. People, are you ready? Now, the reason I did not want to do this earlier is because the anointing would not have been there for this. Now the anointing is here.
No.
And the grounds are moist for the seed to be sown. I'm telling you, this is the time to declare whether you really believe the Bible or you don't. This is the time to declare that you believe the promises of God. Don't put that seed in yet till I tell you. Because I'm asking people today to make commitments to sow seed you've never sown before. Because this is not small stuff that's coming. Big stuff is coming. I said big stuff is coming. No, did you hear me? Ladies and gentlemen,
I guess big stuff was coming there, Benny, especially the day that the feds pulled up in their automobile. Yeah. Big stuff was coming, all right. Oh, honestly, I guess it's despicable. Despicable humans. Who are these people? Who are these people? Oh, yeah, I don't know. I mean, how does that happen? That all of a sudden, wow, because Israel is going to be the richest country on the face of the earth, that then all of a sudden the church is going to be the richest. And yeah, we saw what you did with all the money that came into your ministry there, Benny. We saw what you did. You blew it. You blew it. So anyway, here now, you're going to hear Benny now as he goes on there at this Morris Cirillo so-called conference that he has where they're supposed to be teaching the Bible, but all they're doing is taking up offerings. And you're going to hear Benny hitting out. You're going to find this hard to believe. I found it hard to believe. Benny, he actually tells people that they needed $80,000 to bury his mother. I don't know about you, but who spends $80,000 on a funeral? Except a scam artist does that, $80,000 on a funeral. But here's your so-called, not our so-called, but in some people's eyes, the man of faith and power. Here's the scam artist of faith and power will say, Benny talking about here at the Morris Cirillo conference, how he needed $80,000 for his mother's funeral.
Because the anointing would not have been there for this. Now the anointing is here, and the grounds are moist for the seed to be sown. I'm telling you, this is the time to declare whether you really believe the Bible or you don't. This is the time to declare that you believe the promises of God. Don't put that seed in yet till I tell you. Because I'm asking people today to make commitments to sow seed you've never sown before. Because this is not small stuff that's coming. Big stuff is coming. I said big stuff is coming. No, did you hear me? Ladies and gentlemen, August 29, the Lord spoke to me to sow a seed that I really did not want to sow. I had a real tough time with that one. The Lord said to me, said, I want you to give me $20,000. And God said two out of said yes. And he said three out of said yes. Even five was easy to swallow. But 20, boy, that was a tough one. Now, I had put money aside because my mom went to be with the Lord May 3rd. And my younger brother, Michael, came to us, the family. He's the genius in the family. He said, we need $83,000 to cover all the expenses for Mom's home going. So I said, what do you mean? Why? Well, because Mom wants to be buried next to Dad, and Dad has to be moved to another location in Toronto. And just to move the body from one grave to another is $26,000. So what? He said, 26 just to move the body, Dad's body, who died in 82. He said, we need to move the body to a new location because Mom wants to be next to Dad. Then he said, well, we also need to build a nice stone and the cross and put the special sayings. My mom had requested that we put certain things on the cross and the stone about the Lord. So he said, all that will cost additional money. And he said, we need to have two funerals, one in Orlando, because that's where the family is, meaning, and one in Toronto, because that's where the cousins are. My brothers live in Orlando, my cousins are in Toronto, okay? So we had to have two services, and to fly the body and do all that is 83. So they looked at me, they said, what are you going to give for Mom? You know, when your brothers ask you, what is your portion, you know? You're like, oh, brother. So I said, I will give 20, but I said, I don't have it now. I'll put it away till the time comes, because it's going to take time for them to because I wanted to pay for the cross and the stone and all that. So I said, let me pay for what Mom wanted with the big cross on the grave. And so I said, well, then my brother Mikey said, and you will give 20,000, and my sister Rose will give 20, and my sister Mary will give such such, and my brothers will give whatever. I said, okay, I'll give you the 20. When do you need it? He said, we'll probably need it in about September, maybe early October, because they have to do the work. I said, okay. So I put the money aside, and God says, I want it. Now you tell me how tough that'll be for you. I want the 20. I said, Lord, wait a minute. This belongs to me. I want it. What can I do? So I gave it. I didn't like to give it, but I gave it. September 16, a man showed up from New York named Pastor Ed. Pastor Ed is very prophetic. He's preaching in my studio. He said, Pastor Benny, so the Lord just told me you gave $20,000 to him. He said, 20 days from now, money will be put in your hands to pay off your house. My wife and I just bought a home in Florida, because we lost our house in the divorce in California. So we wanted to buy one in Florida because her mom is there, my brothers and sisters, and my grandkids live in Florida, and I want to see them grow up, you know. So I now go back and forth. So we got the house. I paid $750 for the house in a beautiful area in Orlando, and the bank wanted 20%. So I gave 20%, then they asked for more. So I owed $450,000 exactly for the house. Now, I go preach somewhere in about October sometimes, and the offering they gave me is $20,000.
Oh. Anyway, the story gets better. The story gets better now. Wow. Benny, who? $83,000 for a funeral? I mean, his mother, she sure was enjoying. She made these plans, I guess, before she died. And she figured that Benny's partners would probably help with her funeral because, you know, she's got to have a special stone and she's got to, they have to dig up bodies and they have to fly bodies all over the place. And Benny's partners will help pay for her funeral. Wow, I guess, you know. And notice that Benny's the prosperity man. Benny's the prosperity man. And he says God told him to give $20,000, but he didn't have it. Benny, I thought you were the prosperity man over there. You're the seed sower. You mean you didn't have $20,000? Pitiful. So, I noticed that Benny says that he had the $20,000. He was going to use it for his mother's funeral. But God told him he wants it. I don't know. What would God want it for? I wonder. I didn't know that God spent money. Can somebody please tell me? Can somebody please tell me what God needs money for? What does he spend it on? I don't know. Benny, I don't think it was God that was telling you that, Benny. But anyway, here, it gets better. And it gets better here. You're going to hear now the rest of the story here. And then you'll hear the hook. You'll hear the hook here in the end. This clip here is about 7 minutes long. But I think you will enjoy it here. You'll hear the rest of Benny's story here about how his house got paid off because he gave this $20,000. And, of course, the people there sitting, and Morris Cirillo is sitting there on the platform, and he's in awe, of course, because he doesn't know that any of this is going to happen, right? And, of course, then Benny gets the hook in the end that you see what God did for me and he can do it for you too. All you have to do today is give $5,000, $3,000, $2,000. You need a house, he says. Wow, I wish it was that easy, right? I wish it was that easy. My parents had to work almost all their life to get a house. That's how I saw them get a house. I never saw like in an hour where they gave $25,000 and then within days they got a house. No, I saw like 30 or 40 years of labor. Anyway, here you go. You're going to hear the Benny brag about his house and then he puts the hook in.
I gave God 20. I got back 20. That's not a harvest. That's just giving me back what I gave. I'm going to understand that. Put your hands up high. There's nothing to it. I give 20, I get 20. That's not a harvest. That's not a blessing. That's just paying you back. So I said, Lord, I praise you for the harvest. Because that's not the harvest, I said. I said, that's only 20,000. I gave the 20 from my mom to you. Now you give it back to me. And give it back to me on time to send to my brother Mikey. So I send the 20, but I'm thinking, you know, this is no harvest. I'm in Nigeria. God is my witness. I'm in Nigeria. November, a man walks up to me out of the blue. He said, well, first, a man sent me a check. You know, dear Pastor Ashish from Dubai. Ashish, the Lord spoke to him to send me 50,000. He said, the Lord told Reka and I to help you pay off your house. He has 50. So he sent the 50, but I still needed 400. I'm in Nigeria in November. A man looks at me and says, God is telling me you need $400,000. I'm giving it to you now. He said, what do you need the four? I said, well, that'll pay all my pay my house. He said, that money, pay your house. Gave me the $400,000. I'm here to tell you, my house is paid for. I gave 20, I got back 400. How many want God to pay off your house? I'm serious. How many out here want to have a house paid for? Wave at me. I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to believe God, you're going to pay off your house and pay off your property. Kenneth Copeland told me when he, last December of last year, not this, the one before, 2015, he said, everything you declare is going to happen. I began declaring my house paid for. And brother, it happened in November. Now I'm declaring something else I want. I want another house in California. And this time I want a small house. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to say who because she's here. There's a lady in the service tonight who's giving me a house in California. She's sitting in this service. I began declaring, Lord, I want a house in California and I want ocean view. What did I ask for? That's exactly what I'm getting. And the lady who's giving me that house is sitting here in this service right now. She's listening to my words. I don't want her to stand up because I don't want to embarrass her. All I can tell you, sweetie, do what God told you. I am waiting for the house. Woo! So, I have a house paid for in Florida. I'm getting a house all paid for in California. And the lady sitting in this service, all because I gave $20,000. Lift your hands and thank him. Your house is paid for. My God, I feel the anointing for this one. I feel the anointing for this one. Some of you need property. You need property. I'm going to pray God will give you property. It's happening to me. Come on. It's happening to me now. I'm in it. I don't want that anointing to be only on me. I want that thing to be on you. I want that anointing to come on you. So you will go and walk around the property and get it. How many of you need new property? For your church, for your business? You're sure you want that, right? I'm going to ask every person that wants new property, not old property, new property. That you're going to declare it tonight. You need to sow a seed tonight. You need to sow a seed. No less. No less. Now this is, I know it's kind of a little big, but hey, you're going to get a big one too. If I give 20, you can give at least 5. I'm going to ask many to give 5, many to give 10, many to give 3, many to give 2. But I'm going to start with 5 first. So lift your hands, pray in the Holy Ghost so God can talk to you. Come on. You cannot give little and receive property. You can't give little and receive a house. You need to give something substantial. All of you, pray out loud. I want to hear you. Come on. Those that will give 5,000, 4,000, 3,000, 2,000, or 1,000, only that group from 1 to 5. I'm asking many of you to give 5. Those that will give 5, you need to come first because I want to agree that God will release an anointing on you that's been on me now for the last few months. Think about that. I get into that house in March. It's paid for in November. The lady God talks to her and her husband who are sitting in this room tonight to give me another one. That's all I want. My wife Suzanne said, why don't you believe now for a condominium in Florida? That I can go use it to have some time for myself. I said, I said to Suzanne, where do you want it? She said, I want it in Palm Beach. I want to go to Palm Beach so I can pray. Well, I'm not ready to declare that one yet. But I probably will soon. I want to get the house before I believe for the condominium. because I heard years ago, nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. I don't want to focus on two houses. I want to focus on one. I'm giving that this lady who's sitting in this room tonight will give me the house real quick. And the people said amen. So Lord, talk to her real good tonight. Let me hear an amen, Lord. Lift your hands, say, Father, talk to the lady.
Well, Benny, it might not be the house that you were believing for. It might be an 8x10 sale. Raided your place there in Dallas after you bragged and bragged and bragged about the houses. And then the lady that's supposed to give you the house in California, notice she didn't give it to you yet, but she's over there at the meeting, at Morris Cirillo's meeting, and you're dropping the hints that, oh, I hope she hurries up and gives it to me. Oh, Lord. Oh, yeah, I hope she hurries up and gives it to you before she changes her mind, right? Oh, Benny, I bet you were very surprised, Benny, when the Fed showed up there at your place in Dallas. And I wonder, I don't think you're bragging anymore. I don't think you're going to be bragging anymore about all the stuff you have there, about your houses and your cars and your condos and whatever. Benny, you might have a big surprise when you have a new house. When you might, Benny. Benny, you might have your own little condo there at the federal penitentiary with Todd Kuntz in your custom-made orange jumpsuit. And personally, I won't feel sorry for you, because I think it's despicable that you tell people, poor people, that probably the majority of the people that were there at this Morris Cirillo event would love to have a house. They would love to have a house. And you're telling them, look at me. See how I got my house? I gave $20,000 to God. And now I'm going to have two houses. And I have a $750,000 house, and it's paid for because I'm a scam artist. Look, I'm a scam artist, and I'm a scam artist. And I'm going to teach you how to be a scam artist, too. So you can be a scam artist just like me. And that's how you can get a house. That's real Christian, right? That's Christian, right? Please. It's like, stop it already. Enough. Enough Benny Hinn. Enough Morris Cirillo. It's like, away with you already, please. Repent or go away. Just go away and leave God's people alone already. Just leave them alone, please. Anyway, here's Morris Cirillo. He's building a legacy center, and it's going to be all about Morris. It's going to be a training center. Forget it. We don't need any more people to be trained to be just like Morris and Benny. No, we don't want any more of that kind of so-called Bible training. No, we want to change things. We want to finish the Reformation. We want to teach people what it's really like to be a Christian and not this kind of Christianity that they're teaching. We don't need his legacy center. I hope it never happens. I hope it never opens. Unless he repents and starts preaching the gospel. But anyway, here's a little information about
healing.
His legacy center.
He talked about his new book, The Legend of Morris Cirillo. He also talked about the 46th annual World Conference that's going to be held in Dallas. In fact, Marcus Lamb will be a guest speaker at the World Conference. During World Conference, Brother Cirillo is going to break some news on the Legacy International Center. But before that, I wanted to show you some renderings of what the Legacy Center is going to look like. Now, first of all, this is an aerial shot of the actual property, 18 acres. This is an artist rendering of what the facility is going to look like. This is a street side view, absolutely beautiful. Here's another angle. You can see the water feature on the far right. Here is how the Legacy Center will look when you drive by the property. Here is how the Legacy Center will look when you drive onto the property. This is an entrance to the Welcome Center.
you can see the massive interactive globe inside on the right. Here is another angle from the expansive plaza grounds. This architecture is really timeless. They're using Jerusalem stone and walls of glass. This is an inside area of the Welcome Center. This massive globe will be an interactive experience. There will be many touch screens, and you'll be able to discover the amazing ministry facts from over 70 years of ministry of Morris Cirillo. In fact, here is an actual demonstration of a prototype screen that will be used within this attraction. And if you join us and Morris Cirillo in Dallas this coming January, you will be able to experience the interactive exhibit for yourself. Okay, now I have a few more images I want to share with you. Here, as you exit the Welcome Center at the History Dome, you will enter the plaza where you'll find a replica of Jerusalem's Wailing Wall. Now, this is the building that's going to be home to Morris Cirillo School of Ministry. And finally, here's a look at the beautiful hotel that will be on the Legacy Campus. And yes, there's a gorgeous pool as well. Well, that's about it. You don't want to miss the World Conference in January to find out the breaking news from Morris Cirillo. But until then, continue to watch 247 Victory and
Never mind. No, we don't need a Morris Cirillo School of Ministry, because forget it. We need new schools of ministry where people are taught the Bible for what it really says, and not how Cirillo teaches the Bible, that's for sure. We don't need to raise up any more ministers like that. So-called Christian television is full of them. You got one scam artist after another. And if you notice, all the people that associate with Morris Cirillo, Marcus Lamb, another scam artist, Steve Muncy, the different people that he has at his events, these people, the Bible says to mark them that cause divisions. Mark them. We mark them. And we say, no, no more. We're finished with that kind of gospel. I know that, I don't know exactly what it is, something shorting out, going in and out here with the sound. I don't know if it's one of my wires or not, but hopefully we'll get that adjusted. But anyway, here's another little clip about the Morris Cirillo Legacy Center.
Cirillo had a vision that was so incredible that only God himself could conceive it, so massive that only God can bring it to pass. Now, it's time for the release of this anointed vision to you. It's the 7-year master plan for souls. 20 million souls and 20 million nationals by the year 2020. These 20 million nationals will cover the earth with the knowledge of the Lord like the waters cover the sea, and an end-time harvest of souls will be rescued from Satan's grasp. The truth is, Morris Cirillo can't reach 20 million souls without you. God's servant needs your help fulfilling this mandate for souls. Dr. Cirillo has launched the most aggressive outreach of his 67 years of ministry, the building of the Morris Cirillo International Center in San Diego. Through the continued training of nationals, Dr. Cirillo's mandate and legacy will live on until Jesus returns. Dr. Cirillo is asking you to be a part of this incredible ministry endeavor. It's a mandate that has seen miracles begin to multiply every anointed step of the way. Just 2 years ago, World Evangelism purchased one of the most prestigious and strategically located prime properties in San Diego at auction in what has been called the One Penny Miracle in Mission Valley. The 18-acre property is just north of downtown, a few minutes from the airport, and only minutes away from SeaWorld and some of San Diego's most attractive landmarks. It's perfect. Miraculously, World Evangelism outbid the last standing competitor on the courthouse steps by a single penny. Only a few months later, God reunited Morris Cirillo with a partner who, when informed of the property purchase, asked if he could bless the ministry and prepare all of the site and architectural plans in support of the vision and take responsibility for construction.
I want the city to see the parking, the layout, the ramps, all everything that we have in here, because this will address and answer a lot of their questions as to how we're going to get things done and where it's going to go.
This miracle will save the ministry hundreds of thousands and possibly millions of dollars. His efforts have shaved months off the normal city review process.
All right, thank you very much. This is a glorious, glorious evening, and this is the most incredible moment of my life.
On January 4th, 2013, 1,000 nationals from over 30 countries, city officials, and leading pastors in San Diego assembled with nearly 1,500 partners to join with Morris and Teresa Cirillo to dedicate the grounds of the International Center. As Brother Cirillo took to the stage, a majestic eagle soared overhead. When Teresa joined him, two eagles joined together and soared over their heads. We believe, as an anointed sign from God, that the vision is ordained of him, just as the dove descended on Jesus when he baptized John the Baptist. God continues to provide miraculous relationships at all levels as the vision begins to literally take form before our eyes. Work has begun with Sony, who will develop our global digital technology, and with Visioneering, an award-winning creative company who have designed and built many functions and attractions for Disney and Universal Studio theme parks. They are actively preparing incredible concepts and designs to make the International Center a global attraction. At the heart of this amazing campus will be the Jewish World Outreach Pavilion. It will provide amazing experiences that will change the life.
Notice that. He says that when Morris got up on the podium, an eagle, all of a sudden there was an eagle flying over him. And then when Teresa, his wife, got up, then there was two eagles. Oh, and it had to be God that did that. It was a sign from the Lord, right? Oh, please. Honestly. These people, they'll stop at nothing. What do you think is going to become of Morris Cirillo? He has a son, David, and they have this Inspiration Network. They actually bought the old PTL satellite network after Jim Baker was arrested back in the 80s, and the Cirillos bought it. They were actually trying to buy the old PTL grounds at one time. And so they bought the network, and his son, David, they're on different networks like DirecTV. They're probably on some of the other cable networks, and with the Inspiration Network, which is no inspiration at all. All it is basically is David Cirillo holding these begathons, which he has people like Mike Murdoch and different people come on there, and they get your money. And David Cirillo, his son, he's just like his father. He acts just like his father. He's just a money grubbing preacher is all he is. And he was building some kind of city of lights or something over there in, I think it's North Carolina where he was building it. But anyway, he will probably take over after his father passes away. And it's sad, isn't it, really, to think that these men, their children, they teach their children to be just like them. They teach their children to take what is precious, the precious name of Jesus, the precious sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, who left heaven to come to earth. He left heaven to come here. And walk the earth and to be spit on and to be arrested and to be, they tried to throw him off a cliff and they beat him and they put thorns in his head and they put nails in his hands and in his feet. And they take that sacrifice that the Lord made for us and they use it for their own gain. They don't care about the souls of people. They don't care about where people are going to spend eternity. They raise up these children to be just like them. The children have no morals. They have no integrity. They have no respect for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his church and for his sacrifice and for the truth of God's word, which the only reason they ever read the Bible is to use it to con people, to take scriptures, to twist the scripture to make it suit their money taking. That's all they do. It's all, and everything they do revolves around the offering. And that's not the way it should be. That's not the way it should be. We preach the gospel because we want to teach people what the Bible says. We preach the gospel because we care about where people will spend their eternal life. Whether or not it has financial benefits for us or not, God said he would meet our needs. He said he would do it. He said he would meet our needs according to his riches and glory. So whatever your needs are probably different than my needs, but God said he would do it. He said that he wouldn't see the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. So why do these people always have to be begging, and building, and most of the time they're only building monuments to themselves, which has no benefit at all to the kingdom of God. It only benefits them. I don't want to remember Morris Cirillo after he's gone. He'll be gone, and he'll be forgotten about like the rest of them. Who really thinks about Oral Roberts that much anymore since he died? Who thinks about Kenneth Hague so much since he died? You don't really think about those people after they're gone. And he wants to leave behind a legacy. Well, it's not much of a legacy to leave behind at all. I wouldn't want to be leaving that kind of a legacy behind, of the people to remember me as a scam artist and a trickster and a scripture twister and a person who just accumulated wealth by using people's pain and their suffering to promise them miracles, which they had to buy when miracles are free. I wouldn't want to be leaving behind that kind of a legacy. So enough already. If you have friends that are involved in this kind of thing, oh, I hope that you can give them some godly counsel. Give them this program or some of the other programs that are out there with people that are trying to expose this kind of false gospel and this other Jesus that they preach, which is nothing like the real Jesus. Nothing. He's nothing like the real Jesus, because the real Jesus never asked anybody for anything before he did something for them. He didn't say, sow a seed. That's stupid, really. It's like enough already. I can't believe that this kind of stuff still goes on. I just can't believe it. But I want to see an end to it. And I hope you do too. I hope you do too. And we need to shout it from the housetops so we can see. They talk about a revival in the church. I don't see any revival. I see a revival of the selling of indulgences, which was why they had a reformation back in the, 500 years ago in the 1500s, when Martin Luther got sick of the miracle selling that the Catholic Church was doing. And of course it was very lucrative, and it's still very lucrative now, but we haven't seen much of a change. And it's time to finish the Reformation, and it's time to say no to all of this and not support these people in any way, shape, or form, and not to support the churches that preach this kind of a gospel, because it's not the real gospel. It's not going to save anybody. It's not going to help anybody. Most people that go to these type of churches where they promise them the world if they give money wind up bankrupt. They wind up divorced because they fight over money, and they fight over the fact that the wife or the husband's giving too much money to the church, and they give money on their credit cards, and people do all kinds of things to try to get God to do things for them when all they have to do is pray. So they wind up miserable, and they wind up broke. So it's a sad state of affairs, but we hope and we pray that we can see a change. Amen. So next week, I'm going to do Rod Parsley. I haven't talked about him for a while, and we'll kind of update people on Rod Parsley, the serial scammer. The serial scammer, which Morris Rillo is too. He's a pitiful man. I don't know really if there's any hope for him. He's been at it for so long that I don't know if he's going to change before he dies. I really don't. But we'll see, right? We'll see what happens. Sometimes people, they're just so seared over that even when they're on their deathbed, they don't cry out for mercy and repent to the body of Christ publicly for the false gospel that they preached and for all the people that they led astray. That's the worst part, is the people, all the millions of people that you lead astray when you preach a false gospel, and how dangerous it really is for everyone involved in it. And for the person themselves that has to stand before the Lord one day, give an account of their life. How do you explain it to God? What do you say to God on that day when he asks you, how did you use his word? What did you do with it? I wouldn't want to be him. Look, there's not enough money in the world to make, really, there, and there shouldn't be enough money in the world to make anybody turn against the word of God and to turn against the real Jesus. No, there shouldn't be. But anyway, that's our program for today. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And don't forget our YouTube channel, Susan Puzio. And if you need to email me, I'm at susan@propheticnews.com. That's my email address. Also, you can send me a friend request on Facebook. And we have our website, propheticnews.com. Our information is up there also, so you could go there. The book, Seed Faith, Can a Man Bribe God, is available too on Amazon. And really, the book is, we go through different, we talk about people like Kenneth Copeland, we talk about Morris Rillo, Mike Murdoch, and we give kind of a history of their lives and their so-called ministries. The book is helpful, especially to people that are involved in this kind of thing, because it lays things out. And all the facts have been investigated and vetted. And so everything that we document there is true. So also, we are on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Alnor, and she has a new news magazine on the internet called The Christian Sentinel, which I advise you to check out. We're also on the Eternity Ready Radio Network, so check that out. Check out our brother Reformation News on Blog Talk Radio. It's a good program that you would enjoy. So anyway, be blessed today, but don't forget the most important thing. If you're listening and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, ask him to come into your life today. Repent of your sins. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ said, ye must be born again. He said it in the third chapter of John. First, you're born of your mother, and then ye must be born again of the Spirit of God. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven in a body. He's alive. He's real. He sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, and he promised us that he is coming again. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our Master. He is our Teacher. And he gave us his word, the Bible, as a guidebook for life. And they call it the good book, and it is. It's a good book. It will help you. Also, read the book of Romans today. The book of Romans says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And he promised us that we could, when we die, that we could go to heaven, that heaven would be our home. And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. So we know that this life is short on the earth, but we can have eternal life, and we can also have life after death. We can see our loved ones if they also accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So God bless you today. I hope that you will ask Jesus into your life and you will find peace and joy. Because there's no peace without Jesus Christ, because he is the Prince of Peace. There's no joy without Jesus Christ, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So give your life to Jesus today. You'll never be sorry. You will never be sorry. God bless you.
I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there.